upon the death of David's son, Solomon, the nation of Israel was divided into two kingdoms. There was the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. This division took place about 930 years before Christ. Some 200 years later, just before the fall of the northern kingdom of Israel, the Old Testament prophet Hosea placed his hand on one of the major causes of the northern kingdom's destruction. He said the cause is ignorance. The prophet cried in chapter 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed by a lack of knowledge." Some 110 years later, similarly, the prophet Isaiah warned about the coming punishment to the southern kingdom of Judah. And Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 5 and in verse 13, he said, "My people will be carried away into captivity because of their lack of knowledge." That passage was fulfilled by the Babylonian captivity. Here's the lesson. A lack of knowledge. Let me put a finer point on it. Sustained spiritual ignorance brought an end to the northern kingdom of Israel. And that same sustained spiritual ignorance brought to its knees in captivity the southern kingdom of Judah. And yet today there remains the truth that sustained spiritual ignorance still brings forth nothing but ruin and destruction. Whether it is an individual, whether it is a family, whether it is a nation, or whether it is the church, if we try to live, if we try to exist without an understanding of God's will, without a knowledge of God, and without the knowing of what it is that God wants, we are headed to destruction, we are headed to failure, and we are headed to ruin, and all of history proves what I just said. So I beg you to understand this. There is a crisis today. Not a crisis coming on us, but here. It exists. There is a crisis of spiritual ignorance in the church. We'll start with the elders. Where are the godly elders today who know that book from cover to cover? Where are the elders today who can take this book and defend it against whatever comes up? In my lifetime, a good portion of the men who have been appointed to the leadership of eldership in the church have been appointed to that position because they owned or they ran a successful business. Running a business is unrelated to knowing this book or having the understanding to tend a flock. And there are the preachers. We have a new generation of preachers in the Lord's church. These men are experts at everything except the Bible. These prints of theology seem to be totally incapable of framing a sentence that the common person sitting in the pew can even understand. A generation ago, preachers stood in the pulpit with the Bible in their hand and they cried aloud and spared not. Today, we hear little about sin. We hear little about holiness. We hear little about the need of worshiping as God has instructed. We hear little about the subject of baptism. We hear little about the subject of hell. We hear little about getting right with God, and most of the folk who sit in the pew love it. And then there are the members. The average member is no long a Bible toting, Bible quoting, Bible living, Bible defending person. There is a crisis of spiritual ignorance in the church. There is a crisis of spiritual ignorance in the church. And this crisis of ignorance about God and about His Word, this crisis is leading many congregations away, and a lot of congregations have lost sight of what it is they're about. They've lost the way. So in our brotherhood this morning, congregations have two services on Sunday morning. Not because of the crowd. They have a traditional, their word, service. And then they have a contemporary, their word, service. A traditional service is what we're engaged in. Where what we do by instruction of the book. The contemporary service has a great deal of foolishness outside the book in it. So there's bands, and there is instrumental music, and men and women have lost sight of the roles that God has given them that go on in a worship service. There are strange, strange things that are taking place in our brotherhood on Sunday in the name of God. And even those who are there as elders and preachers and members who've been there for years, they know that this is different from what it used to be. They know this is different from what they are used to, but nobody there has the spiritual ability to take the book and say, listen, this is wrong, and right here is why it's wrong. Spiritual ignorance is a crisis. And there are all kind of groups in the church that are paying the price for it. New converts are being taught. And if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. Listen to me. Long term, the group that will be most affected by this spiritual ignorance is our children. It will be our youth. If we raise a generation without the word, you can't teach what you don't know. If we raise a generation without the word, the result of that is going to be that they are going to grow up. They are not gonna know the Lord. And it is just inevitable that they will go into apostasy. So it brings the question, how does a faithful generation raise an unfaithful generation? There are folks here now in this room, you were raised in the church. You were raised, look at me because I'm talking right at you. You were raised in the generation in which the Church of Christ was the fastest growing religious body in America. You have been faithful to the Lord. You will continue to be faithful to the Lord. And there is no way in the world that you will walk away from the Lord. You were a part of that generation, and you will remain faithful till they bury you. But here's what we're failing to understand. Every generation must not only be taught, but every generation must be taught from scratch. We can't assume anything. They must be taught from scratch, and they must be taught with great diligence, and they must be taught with great clarity, so that when the teaching is over, they have actually learned something. If nobody learns anything, nobody taught anything. Now, I was raised in a church. And when I was 2 weeks old, my mother wrapped me in a blanket and brought me. So I speak of myself. But I'm telling you, an inherited faith, a faith that we inherit from our parents, a borrowed faith, is not gonna be enough to sustain this generation of young people when they hit the real world with the real people. And when they become adults, and when they are asked, why isn't one church just as good as another? If they say, because that's what my mom and dad told me, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. If they are asked, why is there no piano in your service? If they are asked, why do you take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Why do you believe that baptism is a part of God's scheme of redemption? And if their answer to that is, well, that's the way it was in the church that I was raised, that's not gonna cut it. The next generation has got to know what God said, not what I said. Here's the way it is. And this is just the way it is. Walking with God will make you an Abraham. Walking with Abraham will make you a Lot. You get it? And that's the truth. They must walk with God. They must walk with God. But to walk with God, they must be taught to walk with God. And they must understand why they are walking with God. I'm begging you, listen, I'm begging you to understand this. This is a crisis. This isn't about something that's about to happen. This is something we're drowning in. There is a crisis of spiritual ignorance, and it exists in the church. And many, many groups will be affected by it. But long term, it's our youth who will be affected. And the next generation, it's the church that will be affected by it. Based on this ignorance, and based on the youth who will be affected, I've got two observations here. Two observations. Number one, the issues, now, my dad, look at me. Grandma, look. The issues, the temptations, the drama and the fiery darts of the devil that are being aimed at young people are different than anything that we ever had to face. All right, let me change that. I'll change that. The issues and the drama and the temptations that this generation of young people face is much different than anything I ever faced. I'll give you an example. The transgender problem. Transgender problem. Look at me, because I'm going to say all this. I'm talking about the transgender problem among young people. Now, Grandma, if you're confused, transgender is when they change genders on you. You know, grandson becomes granddaughter. Now, in the Royal Oak School District, and the only reason I'm mentioning this is because I have information on it that's correct. And if it wasn't certain, I wouldn't say this. In the Royal Oak School District, a boy went home one day and the next morning got up, came to school, and announced he's now a girl. The boy didn't go to a doctor. The boy didn't see a doctor. The boy wasn't treated about anything. He just announced, now I am a girl, and the school got in line with that. They now have gender fluid. Gender fluid is just what you think it is. It's a guy who decides, I want to be a girl now. And then after being a girl for a while, he decides, well, now I want to go back to being a boy for a while. So his gender is fluid. It goes back and forth. He can be a she, and the fact that I stand here and say he can be a she tells everybody how messed up this is. Stay with me, I'm gonna get to my point. This past week in Virginia, a high school teacher in Virginia was fired because he used the wrong pronoun in addressing a student. The teacher had her last year in the ninth grade. She graduates to the 10th grade, and she has this teacher who had her last year in a class. But over the summer, she stopped being a her and became him. So the teacher referred to her, which is now him, by saying, using the pronoun her instead of using the pronoun him. He was brought before the school board and he explained to them, listen, I am a man of faith. I am a Christian. This is difficult for me. And so he told the board, here's what I'm willing to do. He says, from now on, I will call every student by their name. Who could disagree with that? I'm going to call every student by their name. And they told him, that's not good enough. They fired him. Now, here's my point. Listen to me. Here is my point. If I'm 12, 13, 14 years old, if I'm 15, 16 years old, and I'm sitting in high school, and I am a Christian, and I come to Highland Church of Christ every Sunday, and I'm trying to do what's right, but I'm sitting in a classroom, and I'm seeing all of this, I'm hearing all of this, think about the impact this is having on the mind of our children. Hello? Think about what, you know what? They're going to be asked, well, what's wrong with that? Is anything wrong with this? Well, can we do this? Listen, here's my question. What if she walks in the room and says, don't call me she or he? What if they walk in and say, I'm a goat? I'm serious. You say, well, that's silly because they're not a goat. Well, she ain't a he either. Why is that any sillier? And a lot of y'all are uncomfortable, but I'm going to tell you something right now. This nonsense is as wrong today as it was 30 years ago when you thought it was wrong. There's the website's gonna crash. You know what? And out there in the world, take a number and get to the end of the line. I'm asking you to consider the impact that all this stuff has. They're facing our children, grandchildren. They're facing things I never dreamed of when I was a kid. In the 60s, if you had come to school and said, I ain't that no more, I'm this, you'd never get home. So I don't know about this. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying this is a different world. And I'm saying that the greatest pressure in the world on a child is peer pressure. Now here's where I'm going with this. There is a crisis of spiritual ignorance in the church. Our young people are going to be affected by this greatly if some folks don't get their head in the book. The issues they face are incredible. The darts that Satan is shooting at them, I would not want them shot at me as a teenager. Here's my second observation, my second thought. We, you and me, moms and dads, church and home, church and parents, we have got to do all that we can to equip them to fight the battle. That's not a playground out there. That's a battleground. That's a war out there. And it's not a war of bullets and bombs. It is a war for the mind of your children. Light or darkness. Kingdom of God, kingdom of Satan. It is a war for their mind. Who will capture their minds? and who will they believe? We have got to do everything we can to equip them so that they can go out there and deal with this spiritual foolishness that's up in their faces every day. Social media, have mercy. Every kind of filth that has ever grazed the face of this earth goes across social media every day. You gotta be careful. What are they looking at? What are they reading? And what are they seeing? Amen. Now here's what we're gonna do. Beginning the first Sunday in 2019, from the youngest Bible class Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, from the youngest through the seventh grade, is going to be 52 weeks about Jesus. 52 weeks about Jesus. What ought to happen is that they ought to learn about Jesus in Bible class, and then that week, somebody at home with some authority needs to sit down and re-instill and re-evaluate that in their minds so that their minds can begin to understand some spiritual concepts. Nobody's going to talk to me. Nobody is ever going to make me feel, and nobody's going to ever make me believe that Bible school isn't worth it, because I was raised in Bible class. I remember those teachers. I remember what they taught me, and what I was taught stuck with me because my mama sat me down and said, this is what we're going to do, and what we did at home is what we did in Bible class, and I got hit with it here, and I got hit with it there, and bless God, some of it stuck. A young adults class is going to start. If you're over teenagers and not old and too old and not old enough to get around me and Cliff Russell and Odell Morgan, who are old and ancient, we're going to give you a class. Bible class, worship service. If you have a child in children's church, Wednesday night Bible class. We've got to equip these children for the battle that they're in. Their minds are like sponges. Let me illustrate this. My wife teaches children's church. And she was teaching, and Mary Nolan is her helper. And Deborah told me, she said, I seen this kid, probably 7. And she said, I could tell he was really taking it in. And then all of a sudden he had this look on his face like, you know, I don't know. So Deborah told Mary Nolan, go through this exercise with him. So Deborah sat down. I'll tell you, he's a boy. That's all I'm going to tell you. It doesn't matter who he was. And she says, do you want to ask something? And he said, yeah. Can I just ask you? And she says, yeah, you can just ask me. He says, now, God is real. And Deborah said, yeah, God's real. And he says, God will punish you if you don't do what's right. And so Deborah explained this to him. And then she looked at him and she says, now, do you understand? And she said, he kind of looked up and said, I'm getting it together in my mind. I'm getting it together in my mind. And that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. Listen, there's a crisis here.
there's a crisis. And if there's not a revival in the Lord's church about getting back in this book, and if there's not a rekindling of our passion for the cause of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, the road is going to be very rough in the future. It's going to be very rough in the future. There needs to be a revival. I'm getting back to church. I'm getting back to Bible class. And I'm getting back to this book. And we need to set our hearts on fire with passion. I have to save my soul. I'm responsible for other souls. And I can help others who are around me. The Northern Kingdom disappeared because they were ignorant of God. The Southern Kingdom of Judah spent 70 years in exile because of their spiritual ignorance. And it still leads to tragedy. It still leads to tragedy. I challenge us to spiritual revival. I challenge us to rekindle that passion for Jesus. This morning, if you're not a New Testament Christian, you need to become a New Testament Christian. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." If you're here this morning as a Christian, but you've gotten away from God, you need to come back. You need to come back. This morning, we offer you this invitation, and we extend it to you right now as to